This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. You're confident when it comes to your work and life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same confidence when it comes to refinancing your existing mortgage or buying a home. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
California sued over sanctuary policies. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. Wednesday, March 7. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Justice Department last night filed a lawsuit in Sacramento arguing that three new California laws try to protect illegal immigrants from deportation.
North Korea says it's willing to talk about denuclearization, but the U.S. may not be ready to address the new development.
With many customers still without power from a weekend storm, a second nor'easter is descending on the region today. We'll have an update.
And why it's so difficult to get rid of government agencies that seem to have so much redundancy.
When Donald Trump came into office a year ago, his initial plan was to eliminate big chunks of government, and his budget actually labeled 19 different federal bureaus that he wanted to shutter all together.
Annie Linsky at the Boston Globe on what are called zombie agencies that are impossible to kill off. The top economic advisor at the White House is stepping down. Gary Cohn, a former Goldman Sachs executive, will resign after 14 months on the job. His announcement comes days after President Trump made a surprise announcement about steel and aluminum tariffs that Mr. Cohn was opposed to. During his time at the White House, Mr. Cohn oversaw a major revamp of the U.S. tax code and pushed a significant rewrite of financial rules. But Mr. Cohn could not persuade the president over the import tariffs. He also failed to talk Mr. Trump out of withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord. The president, though, reiterated support for the tariffs yesterday.
When we're behind on every single country, trade wars aren't so bad. Do you understand what I mean by that? When we're down by $30 billion, $40 billion, $60 billion, $100 billion, the trade war hurts them, doesn't hurt us.
The stock market has been on a roller coaster in recent weeks, first on concerns that higher budget deficits might boost inflation and interest rates, and more recently, because of his tacit approval of a trade war. The federal government is suing the state of California over so-called sanctuary policies that try to protect illegal immigrants against deportation. The lawsuit was filed late last evening by the Justice Department in federal court in the California capital of Sacramento. Justice contends that three state laws passed last year violate the U.S. Constitution in ways like curtailing law enforcement cooperation with immigration officers. Attorney General Jeff Sessions is expected to discuss the lawsuit during a speech this morning in Sacramento. The filing cites a provision of the U.S. Constitution known as the Supremacy Clause, under which federal laws trump state laws. Alameda County Sheriff Gregory Ahern.
What we wish is that there was one federal law that dealt with immigration that was a fair basis that the elected officials have neglected to work on for about a decade.
Mr. Sessions has made combating illegal immigration one of his top priorities since taking the job a year ago, especially a crackdown on so-called sanctuary cities. A tricky new phase in the world's most dangerous problem. The standoff over North Korea's nuclear program has just opened. The U.S. had better be ready. But is it? That question arises now that North Korea, during talks with the South, indicated it's willing to discuss denuclearization. President Trump reacted cautiously to the news yesterday.
We remain determined to achieve a denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, and there's been a lot of news on that today. Hopefully it's positive. Hopefully it will lead to a very positive result.
An analysis now from Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Jerry, how do you see this?
Well, it's a pretty remarkable moment, potentially, which is to say you've gone from, you know, outright hostility on the Korean Peninsula to a kind of a stand down during the Olympics to an actual outbreak of real diplomacy between North Korea and South Korea this week when the South Korean National Security Advisor and a delegation he led visited North Korea and had dinner with Kim Jong-un, which is basically the first time he's ever seen such a high-level foreign delegation, not just from South Korea, but from anywhere, and talked about wanting to talk with the U.S., apparently, and, as you said, suggested, well, we're willing to discuss denuclearization. Now, why does that matter? Well, you know, the predicate for actual diplomacy with North Korea from the Trump administration's point of view has always been that they have to be willing to denuclearize, and that seemed like a precondition for negotiations, although it's never been very clear. But if the North Koreans are actually saying we're willing to discuss it, that seems to eliminate the precondition the President Trump and other officials had suggested was there before they would start having diplomacy with North Korea. So things have moved forward significantly and fairly quickly just in the last few days.
Get the sense that this is the result of economic sanctions? What's going on here?
It's, you know, nobody knows because it's North Korea. That's the first thing to say. The second thing is I think there are two possible explanations, and the truth is they're probably both at work here. One is that there is reason to believe the economic sanctions that the Trump administration has been tightening, and there have been economic sanctions in place on North Korea forever, but they have gotten much harsher in the last year, and the Trump administration probably deserves credit for that. And that probably is having some impact. I think the North Koreans are seeing, in particular the Chinese, finally their most important economic partners, doing some things to create some pain. And I suspect what you're seeing is a reaction to that. There's also the reality, quite different, that the North Koreans may think they've accomplished their goal, which was to establish a credible nuclear weapons program that makes them feel safe and secure from outside attack, and that they've gone far enough down that road to make the point to everybody that they have a nuclear deterrent of some kind. And having achieved it, they are now more secure in talking about making some compromises because they feel the regime can protect itself. So I think it's probably a combination of their own confidence in the nuclear progress they've made plus feeling the heat from economic pressure.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, Wall Street Journal executive Washington editor. He's written a piece entitled "A New Phase Opens on North Korea. Is the U.S. Ready?" How much of this might be just North Korea's latest way to set itself up to ask for some sort of cash payoff from the West like we've seen before?
Well, that's a really good question, and that is the underlying suspicion among many people in the Trump administration, that they feel we've seen a movie like this before. We know how this ends. The North Koreans basically say, well, of course we're willing to talk, but first of all, let's have some money on the table. Let's get sanctions relief. Let's get some food relief. Let's get some additional trade going with the outside world. And that there has been this tendency to use what one former official referred to as a toggle switch, which it's either pressure on the North Koreans or diplomacy with the North Koreans, in which case the pressure goes off. And so the U.S. has tended to toggle between the one and the other. The trick here is whether the U.S. can avoid basically paying off the North Koreans at the front end and keep up the pressure even while getting into a diplomatic conversation, which most people would agree is necessary in the long run to figure out how to resolve this very difficult problem.
Thanks, Jerry. Wall Street Journal executive Washington editor Jerry Seib. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Support for This Morning with Gordon Deal comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand fully so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/Gordon. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS consumeraccess.org number 3030. Hey, welcome in. Thanks for joining us. More bad news for folks in the Northeast who are still without power after last weekend's storm. Another winter storm arrives today. It's the same large storm system that's brought a wintry mix across the Midwest. New York City Sanitation Commissioner Catherine Garcia.
We will have over 693 spreaders available at the first snowflake, and then we will add to that an additional 1,600 plows.
The National Weather Service said the storm is going to transition into a nor'easter as it moves off the East Coast, bringing between 6 to 12 inches of snow across much of the region. Combe Crocker lives just north of New York City in Westchester County. He hasn't recovered from last weekend's storm.
Pretty concerned. We still don't have power. We haven't even been able to get our insurance company in to see the house.
Winter storm warnings have been posted, stretching from as far south as Philadelphia to as far north as the Boston area. This system will be less of a wind maker than last weekend, but power outages and tree damage will still be a threat. Coastal flooding also will be a risk. This portion of the program is brought to you by Harry's. Get your day off to a productive start with a close, comfortable shave from Harry's. Even if the rest of the day doesn't go as smoothly as your morning routine, at least you look sharp and you've saved money. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices on the backs of customers, but Harry's has revolutionized the shaving industry. Two guys, Jeff and Andy, founded Harry's and committed to quality and affordability, and they constantly innovate. For example, they've added a trimmer blade for your sideburns, and now there's a new non-slip ergonomic handle. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they're offering you a free trial set. That's a $13 value at harrys.com. That's harrys.com. I've used Harry's for years. So has my dad. My teenage son is now shaving with Harry's. That's three generations in my family. Why not join us? Plus, as a special offer for fans of this show, you can go to harrys.com right now and enter the code DEAL at checkout to get a post-shave balm, also free. So it's a free trial set plus the post-shave balm tossed in. Harry's.com and use the code DEAL. That's Harry's.com and at checkout, use the code DEAL. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump's West Wing has descended into a period of unparalleled tumult. So amid a wave of staff departures, and despite the president's insistence that it's a place of no chaos, only great energy. The latest key figure to announce an exit, Gary Cohn, Trump's chief economic advisor, who had clashed with Trump over trade policy.
Believe me, everybody wants to work in the White House. They all want a piece of that Oval Office. They want a piece of the West Wing.
Cohn's departure has sparked internal fears of an even larger exodus, raising concerns in Washington of a coming brain drain around the president that will make it more difficult to advance his policy agenda. The Justice Department is suing California over three state statutes that federal officials say interfere with their immigration authority. The lawsuit opposes California's sanctuary state laws that shield immigrants from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. State Senator Kevin DeLeon.
This administration, through Jeff Sessions, is trying to instill fear, chaos, and panic in many of our communities.
The lawsuit is the latest move under the Trump administration to crack down on sanctuary cities. Under Trump, DOJ has tried a mix of political and financial pressure against sanctuary cities, threatening to cut off federal law enforcement grants unless cities agree to identify and hold suspected immigration offenders. A porn star who has said she had sex with President Trump has filed a lawsuit seeking to invalidate a non-disclosure agreement that she signed days before the presidential election that prevented her from discussing the alleged sexual encounters. The lawsuit alleges that the agreement is null and void and of no consequence because Trump didn't personally sign it. Adult film actress Stormy Daniels says she wanted to go public with the details of her alleged relationship with Trump in the weeks leading up to the election. In the money category, there's a new number one. Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos has surpassed Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates as the world's richest person. He's the first centibillionaire with $112 billion. Investor Warren Buffett is third, followed by the CEO of luxury goods company LVMH, Bernard Arnault. Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg is number five.
That is weak, Zuckerberg. Really?
Yeah.
Can't climb that list? What would you call him? A centibillionaire?
Centibillionaire.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Didn't I see a stat that's like the equivalent of like the income of like 3 million Americans combined or something like that?
Yeah, I believe it.
23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Now might be a good time to go over your insurance policies to make sure you're covered for flooding and other potential spring water damage. In a 2017 report, Farmers Insurance identified water damage from floods, backed up sewers, and other sources as one of the three notable homeowners insurance seasonal hazards for spring, with 17% of annual claims nationwide occurring between March and May. Guidance from Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. Kelly, what should we know?
Well, usually we are talking about flood insurance when it comes to hurricane season, because that's a time when a lot of people, especially on the coast, are thinking about it. But really nationwide, when you look at claims data. Farmers had done a report last year that they looked at what are the common seasonal hazards for spring, and water damage from flooding, from sewer backups, which can be triggered by spring rains, and all these other water sources were a really significant source of claims during the spring.
Wow. All right, so what do we look at here?
Well, the first thing to understand is that if you've got a typical homeowner's or renter's policy, it does not include damage from flooding and, in fact, usually specifically excludes it. So you do need to think about what your potential risks are there.
All right. And well, you mentioned renters. So what about renters? Just stuff inside whatever building you're renting?
Yep, your possessions certainly would be something that, you know, if there was damage from a flood, you know, you're renting like, you know, first floor apartment, low-lying house, you know, that's something that, you know, your landlord's going to be on the hook for damage to the building itself, but you're not going to be able to go to them and say, you know, hey, that inch of water did some serious damage to my home. And by the way, when you look at FEMA estimates, even an inch of water, they say can do it easily. It's more than $3,000 worth of damage to property and about $26,000 all told for your typical house.
Goodness. You said, too, that you should even consider this even if you're not in a flood zone. How come?
Well, you know, because it's about 1 in 5 flood claims actually come from folks who are not in high-risk areas. That's data from the National Flood Insurance Program. Plus, you also have to think about, you know, for example, here in New York, where we've got a lot of high-rise buildings, maybe your apartment or your living quarters are well above the waterline, but, you know, people may have things in storage. You may have stuff in the basement of your apartment building, and that's certainly low-lying enough to get some damage done.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's written a piece about prepping insurance policies for spring floods. Given that the obvious answer for when is it too late, when should we be thinking about this?
Well, ideally, at least 30 days out. That's how long there's a waiting policy to be able to get your coverage to put into place. So if you were looking at this now, early March, you know, you're really talking about having coverage by the time those, you know, stereotypical April showers are coming into play. So you want to be thinking about this ideally well in advance.
You mentioned, too, this is kind of a little breakout in the story about common policy leaks. Explain that.
Yes. So this is actually flood insurance is one of the things that you might actually have we called it a leak in your policy because people think they're covered and they're actually not. But one of the other big water sources that could be a problem here, I mentioned sewer backups earlier in the interview, and that's, you know, rainstorms can be one of those triggers, and that's where water comes back up through your drains, things like that.
Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Whistle while you work? Is that really the most engaged we can hope for at work? We don't think so. With Workforce Solutions from Kronos, your people can do so much more. Like go above and beyond for a customer, improve a process, or bring care to someone else while they work. Great businesses are powered by great people. Find them. Keep them and engage them with Workforce Solutions from Kronos. Learn more at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for 3 straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday, March 7. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Justice Department sues California over sanctuary policies. White House Economic Advisor Gary Cohn stepping down. Second winter storm in a week arrives today in the Northeast. Florida House of Representatives could approve a measure today that arms teachers. A Missouri police officer killed and 2 wounded responding to a domestic call. West Virginia teacher strike is over. And America's growing problem of shopping online while drunk. That story in about 20 minutes. Just over a year ago, Donald Trump came into the White House promising to slice the federal bureaucracy with such ferocity that, as he put it, your head will spin. Shortly after taking office, you might recall he identified more than a dozen and a half little-known federal offices for elimination. But despite President Trump's efforts to do away with what he sees as government waste, the bureaus are all still living, breathing, and spending taxpayer dollars. As Chief National Correspondent Annie Linsky at the Boston Globe says, these zombie agencies are proving difficult to kill. Annie, set this up.
You know, when Donald Trump came into office a year ago, his initial plan was to eliminate big chunks of government, and his budget actually labeled 19 different federal bureaus that he wanted to shutter altogether. And so I just wanted to look and see what happened. And kind of amazingly, all 19 of them are still humming along. And even Donald Trump has, and we know sort of what an ambitious guy he is, but he has even sort of scaled back his ambitions in the last year. And his most recent budget document sort of only suggests killing 15 of those. So four of those agencies have sort of clung to life completely. They're all alive, but four of them have even gotten off the kill list.
Wow. All right. So, well, I guess it's still ambitious at 15. But you said bureaus, right? Not entire departments here.
Well, they're agencies. They're independent agencies that are not represented by a cabinet secretary.
Okay.
So there are all of these, you know, the government, the federal bureaucracy is just so, you know, vast that there are these kind of little fiefdoms that have existed for years and years and years in some cases. And these are the ones that the President Trump was sort of targeting for elimination. But, you know, you do learn with the federal government that even if you are the powerful president, it is really hard to actually get rid of something.
Mm. So name some of these. Which ones are on that elimination list?
Well, I think my favorite were this was like the stories of survival, and one is the Appalachian Regional Commission. And this is a commission that, you know, gives out grants to the 13 states that are involved Appalachia. And, you know, from the Trump administration's perspective, their feeling was that there was sort of a redundancy that, like, you know, other federal agencies are also providing grants to these places, and its function is you know redundant within the federal government, and that was their argument. But then you have this thing called congressional math in Washington, where 13 states means 26 senators, and those senators, for the most part, you know, they've voted in the past to keep it open. I mean, this is a frequent target for conservatives.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, you're conservative if you're a Republican, unless you happen to be in the Appalachian region, and then you're conservative sort of in all the other areas except for this commission.
Yeah.
The commission also very wisely hired Mitch McConnell's one of his former top staffers to run it. So I can't imagine his job is to dismantle the agency.
We're speaking with Annie Linsky, Chief National Correspondent at the Boston Globe. She's written an interesting piece entitled Zombie Agencies Are Nearly Impossible to Kill. Why is it so hard, by the way? Is it just the nature of connections, or nobody has the guts to slash it, or what?
Well, you know, I think part of it is, you know, you hear about this thing of, like, too big to fail, and these agencies are almost, like, too small to fail, you know, it's, like, so small that, like, you know, getting rid of them, I mean, really, getting rid of all of them does not make any sort of major dent in the, you know, in towards balancing the budget. I mean, their budgets are pretty small. And each of them has a pretty excited constituency and a group of people who really believe in what they're doing. I mean, one great example is, you know, the Legal Services Corporation. This is an organization within the federal government that provides grants to help poor people in civil cases. So that's, you know, if you have child support or evictions. And this Legal Services Corporation is active in every single county in America. And so it has this sort of broad base of support that, you know, from one perspective, you could say, oh, gosh, you know, why is the federal government doing this?
Yeah.
But Congress is the one that funds these agencies. And, the Legal Services Corporation is incredibly popular because of the reason that it sort of does a lot that members of Congress want to support.
Thanks, Annie. Annie Linsky, Chief National Correspondent at the Boston Globe. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. I've got my Twitter account open right now. You can follow me there directly at Gordon Deal. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're a parent or just someone who thinks that kids are out of control these days and you long for the days of good old-fashioned parenting, meet your new hero, a Virginia dad named Brian Thornhill. Had a very old-school response when he found out that his 10-year-old son had been kicked off the school bus for 3 days for bullying. He made him run to school. In a now viral video that's been viewed millions of times, Brian can be heard narrating from his car while he's driving behind his son, who's running to school in the rain. And he explains why he thought this was the best way to go.
This right here is called parenting, guys. If you don't know what it's like, here you go. Teach your child a lesson. You don't have to kill them. You don't always have to beat them. But sometimes it sucks for them, and that's what teaches them. So he's going to be a very fast runner later on, because we've always joked he'll either be fast or obedient. So far, we're working on fast.
Thornhill added that his son hasn't gotten in trouble at school this week, whereas last week he was, quote, absolutely out of his mind. He finished the video with, "Teach your kids, don't be a friend, be a parent. That's what children need these days."
All right.
Have to say, I don't hate this idea.
I'll support that. Not to dive in too deeply, but you have to wonder sometimes where that bullying behavior came from.
Sure.
You know, maybe that could have been headed off at a different time. I don't know.
Right.
I'm just speculating as a parent.
So there's all different levels to parenting.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Not just punishing them when they do something wrong,
right,
but teaching them in the first place that bullying is, and he does say again earlier in the video that, you know, he's very, very adamant that bullying is just something that they do not tolerate whatsoever at his house.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, doesn't seem like it came from him to start with, but you don't know, of course.
It's funny, though, watching the young boy running in the rain with his backpack on. It looks like he's part of like some military, instruction of some kind or camp.
I was told myself, my son had some sort of kind of hyperactivity type of issues, especially when he came in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told by officials at the school, like, look, get him outside and run him around the block a couple times before he comes in, just to burn off some of that energy. So, who knows, even just for that reason, maybe it's not a bad idea. They said it's about a mile between his house, Brian's house, and where the school is. So a mile for a 10-year-old is not a super far distance to run. So.
At that age, too?
Yeah.
For me, my mother used to make me run laps around the house.
Again, to burn
in the
off
evening.
A little,
just to
energy.
Burn it off.
Yep.
She's like, "Outside, go outside," and I would just do laps around the house. I remember that.
There you go, old school parenting. And Gordon, a teenager learned the hard way that a Starbucks in Anthem, Arizona, does not allow animals through the drive-through. According to Fox News, Aspen Klein was visiting the coffee chain with her friend to get Frappuccinos when they were informed that they wouldn't be allowed to order. Klein said she had seen some videos online showing other riders ordering through the Starbucks drive-thru and decided she wanted to do that for her birthday. Though Klein and her horse Scout were disappointed with the barista's response, spokesperson for Starbucks said she could have gone through the drive-thru just with a little bit of advance notice. Spokesperson said that officially the drive-thru was only for cars, a policy that's in place to protect animals, riders, and employees. However, with some advance notice, he said next time they could find a way to serve all creatures.
And then you can get your little photo op or whatever you're trying to do there.
I'm guessing the advance notice probably has to do with someone going outside and cleaning up what is left behind from the horse as it makes its way through the drive-thru.
Fair enough.
We've got to get somebody with the pooper scooper.
That's going to wind up being, employees got to go out there and just physically stand in front of cars saying, hold on a minute, let this horse go through so the teenager can have her photo opportunity to post on social media.
Yes, it is an awful lot of trouble.
13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. Glad you're with us. Welcome in. If you've spent hours curating the perfect gym playlist, you'll be happy to know it was not in vain. Listening to music while working out can help athletes go the extra distance. That's a result of a new study presented at the American College of Cardiology. MarketWatch examined the findings, which are the first to evaluate music's direct impact on endurance during cardio workouts. Upbeat music can also help people in the midst of a tough workout push ahead for longer periods of time. If you've got earbuds in during your workout, this is not news to you, right? Some 127 patients with an average age of 53 were assigned either up-tempo music or no music during their stress tests. Those listening to music were able to exercise for an average of 1 minute longer. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, economic nationalists appear to gain the upper hand in a White House battle over trade with the resignation of President Trump's top economic advisor, Gary Cohn. Cohn did not spell out the reasons for his resignation, but he had opposed Trump's tariffs threat. Trump, meanwhile, doubled down on plans to impose hefty tariffs on steel and aluminum imports.
The European Union has been particularly tough on the United States. They make it almost impossible for us to do business with them, and yet they send their cars and everything else back into the United States.
While the measures on their own are relatively small, economists fear the tariffs could lead to a full-scale economic confrontation with China. Another snowy, blowy nor'easter is threatening a new round of power outages as it swirls ashore, causing officials to close schools and city offices and raising concerns for utility customers still trying to bounce back from a nor'easter last weekend. Con Ed CEO John McAvoy.
We'll have both slower response to the remaining outages and in all likelihood some new outages that we'll have to be addressing as well. Well,
the National Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning that stretches from eastern Pennsylvania through most of New England. A top advisor to the United Arab Emirates, who was present at meetings with Trump associates, is cooperating with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. The New York Times reports that the advisor, Lebanese-American businessman George Nader, testified before a grand jury last week. Mueller's interested in whether Nader funneled money from the Emirates towards Donald Trump's presidential endeavors. Providing or accepting any contribution from foreign entities in U.S. elections is illegal. Proponents of self-driving cars say they will one day be safer than ones driven by humans, but right now they're apparently not safe from humans. Companies testing autonomous cars on California roads are required to file reports on all accidents to the state DMV. And according to the Los Angeles Times, 2 out of the 6 submitted so far this year involved people attacking the cars. In early January, a shouting man threw himself onto a GM Cruise vehicle, damaging its rear light. Later in the month, a taxi driver slapped the front passenger window of another GM Cruise vehicle. No word on the motives of these attackers.
Wow. So still considered road rage at that point?
I think so.
Confrontation with a vehicle?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a reflection of your company and designed to impress clients for less. Custom printing at Staples. Standout materials equals outstanding results. Staples, it's pro time. Nearly half of American adults admit to regularly shopping while drunk, and MarketWatch says it appears to be getting worse. A survey by the shopping site Finder.com says we spent an average of $448 per person in drunk purchases last year, nearly double what we did in 2016. Men are responsible for more drunk spending than women, $564 versus $282. So what are we buying while under the influence? Mostly food. The next most common purchase, 26% of us say we picked up shoes and clothes. Hannah Rim, 25-year-old social media manager in New York, says she regularly drops $100 on clothing purchases online, only to return them. She says, drunk me has weird taste. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.